With me in your Bibles, please, for our second reading to the 7th chapter of the prophecy of Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 7, verse 1, hear now the inerrant, infallible, and inspired word of God. And it came to pass in the days of Ahaz, the son of Jotham, the son of Uzziah, the son, king of Judah, that Rezin, the king of Syria, and Pekah, the son of Remaliah, king of Israel, went up toward Jerusalem to war against it, but could not prevail against it. And it was told the house of David, saying, Syria is confederate with Ephraim. And his heart was moved, and the heart of his people, as the trees of the wood are moved with the wind. Then said the Lord unto Isaiah, Go forth now to meet Ahaz, thou and Shear-Yashub, thy son, at the end of the conduit of the upper pool in the highway of the fuller's field. And say unto him, Take heed and be quiet, fear not, neither be faint-hearted, for the two tails of these smoking firebrands, for the fierce anger of Rezin with Syria and of the son of Remaliah. Because Syria, Ephraim, and the son of Remaliah have taken evil counsel against thee, saying, Let us go up against Judah and vex it, and let us make a breach therein for us, and set a king in the midst of it, even the son of Tabeel. Thus saith the Lord God, It shall not stand, neither shall it come to pass. For the head of Syria is Damascus, and the head of Damascus is Rezin, and within 65 years shall Ephraim be broken, that it be not a people. And the head of Ephraim is Samaria, and the head of Samaria is Remaliah's son. If ye will not believe, surely ye shall not be established. Moreover, the Lord spake again unto Ahaz, saying, Ask thee a sign of the Lord thy God. Ask it either in the depth or in the height above. But Ahaz said, I will not ask, neither will I tempt the Lord. And he said, Hear ye now, O house of David, is it a small thing for you to weary men, but will ye weary my God also? Therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. Butter and honey shall he eat, that he may know to refuse the evil and choose the good. For before the child shall know to refuse the evil and choose the good, the land that thou abhorrest shall be forsaken of both her kings. The Lord shall bring upon thee and upon thy people and upon thy father's house days that have not come from the day that Ephraim departed from Judah, even the king of Assyria. And it shall come to pass in that day that the Lord shall hiss for the fly that is in the uttermost part of the rivers of Egypt, and for the bee that is in the land of Assyria. And they shall come and shall rest all of them in the desolate valleys and in the holes of the rocks and upon all thorns and upon all bushes. In the same day shall the Lord shave with the razor that is hired, namely, by them beyond the river, by the king of Assyria, the head and the hair of the feet. And it shall also consume the beard. And it shall come to pass in that day that a man shall nourish a young cow and two sheep. And it shall come to pass for the abundance of the milk that they shall give, he shall eat butter, for butter and honey shall everyone eat that is left in the land. And it shall come to pass in that day that every place shall be where there were 1,000 vines and 1,000 silverlings, it shall be even for briars and thorns. With arrows and with bows shall men come thither, because all the land shall become briars and thorns. And on all hills that shall be digged with the mattock, there shall not come thither for fear of briars and thorns, but it shall be for the sending forth of oxen, and for the treading of lesser cattle. May God add his blessing to the reading and hearing of his most holy word. Ahaz is afraid. Syria, not Assyria, Syria has joined league with Ephraim in the north. They plan to come down to Jerusalem and to make a breach in the wall, and to remove the house of David, and to place some upstart, Tabeel, on the throne instead. That's their plan. Ahaz is afraid because they have already come south. They have not yet been able to breach the walls, and yet they are determined in their purpose. This chapter then unfolds the deliverance of the Lord with regard to that purpose, both historically and prophetically. And it is very important that we not miss the prophetic part. Matthew, in Matthew chapter 1, verses 22, 23, 24, will cite this passage, Isaiah 7, the virgin shall conceive and bring forth a son, as a prophecy of Jesus Christ. If you read in a cursory fashion through chapter 7, you will not get that. But if you read with understanding, you will. Especially with the New Testament revelation that we have. There is some deep divinity in this chapter. By deep, I mean we need to reach down low and draw it up. It's not here, right on the surface. But Matthew tells us very clearly that it is there, and we must then figure it out. So I don't have a lot of time this morning to unpack this passage fully, but let me say a few things. First of all, notice that it is not Ahaz that is addressed in chapter 7, verse 2. It is said, it was told the house of David. Now, why would the prophet change from Ahaz in the beginning to the house of David in verse 2? In verse 1, he says Ahaz. In verse 2, he says the house of David. Why? Because the assault was not upon Jerusalem proper per se. The assault was on the house of David. And if the assault is upon the house of David, what comes at risk? Messiah himself. If it is the house of David that is thwarted here, if it is the house of David that is brought to naught here, then what happens to the promise of Messiah as a son of David? That goes by the boards. Notice what the prophet does. He starts out by talking about Ahaz, but he moves on to talk about the house of David because he's already thinking messianically. The Lord has elevated his thought to messianic thought. We already have it here. It was told the house of David, that they intend to remove the house of David from Jerusalem and put Tabeel instead. Well, what is the response of the Lord to such a messianic threat, or a threat of messianic proportions? A virgin shall conceive and bring forth a son. You see what the prophet does? The prophet is not talking about a son that is going to be born in Ahaz's day. The prophet is looking ahead to Jesus Christ. No, they will not come here. No, they will not establish. No, they will not be successful in their designs. A virgin will conceive, will bring forth a son. He will be that divine Messiah. They will not prosper in their design to take away the throne of David. Ahaz, for his part, notice what the prophet tells him. We roll back here. He says, this is so very important. Who's the head of Syria? Well, it's Rezin. Who's the head of Samaria? Well, the son of Remaliah. Who's the head? That's what happens when you throw your glasses, I guess. So, what happened then? Ahaz pietistically, but really faithlessly, refused to ask for the sign pertaining to his own house. And so the Lord said, the house of David will never be destroyed. And then there's a couple of details to be cleaned up that the Lord, beyond that, looks prophetically. I mean, by the time our Lord Jesus Christ came, that virgin conceived and brought forth the Son, where was Samaria and where was Damascus? Where were they? All legates of Rome, right? The Roman army had marched through all of that area. That's that last kingdom that is prophesied there in Daniel, who would come and run over the face of the earth after Alexander. And so what do we have then in this passage? We have a wonderful prophecy of Messiah. A wonderful prophecy of Messiah, not of some child that would be born in Ahaz's day, but that which would perpetuate the house of David. That's why the house of David is mentioned in verse 2. The prophet is already thinking messianically. And he is called Emmanuel, which is God with us. The butter and honey there, I know it sounds like it's riches. It's not riches. It's supply under deprivation. Because in the remainder of this chapter, we read about butter and honey, don't we? What are butter and honey? Well, butter and honey are all that's left after the land has been desolated. Because you'll have a few animals left, so you have your milk and your butter. You'll have honey that you can go out wild in the field and gather, but you won't have the vines. You won't have the olives. You won't have the vegetables and the grain and the wheat and the meal that they had in times before. That's why it's butter and honey. Because in the days of Messiah, he comes in a day of deprivation. Certainly that's true. Of spiritual deprivation. And so he eats butter and honey as a part of that hardship so that he will know. That is a part of Messiah's training, how to choose the good and abhor the evil. Right? Though he were a son, yet learned he obedience by the things that he suffered. Hebrews 5. 9, I think. 9 or 10, something like that. So, that's really what Isaiah 7 is all about. It's not really about the days of Ahaz. It's about the faithlessness of Ahaz and the threat of two foreign kings to destroy the house of David. But even through the faithlessness of Ahaz, the one who sits on the Davidic throne at that time, and through the threat of foreign governments, notice that the kingdom of Messiah will have no end. Messiah will be born. He will be called Emmanuel. And that land, we will find out in the next chapter, that promise, that heritage, that belongs to him, because in chapter 8, we will read about Emmanuel's land. So not only will Emmanuel go forward, but his promise, his heritage, goes forward as well. All right, let's stand then and continue.